Chapter 6. A Terrible Reminiscence. Now for a terrible reminiscence. I woke up, I believe, before 8 o'clock, and it was very nearly broad daylight. I woke up completely to full consciousness and opened my eyes. She was standing at the table, holding the revolver in her hand. She did not see that I had woken up and was looking at her. And suddenly I saw that she had begun moving towards me with the revolver in her hand. I quickly closed my eyes and pretended to be still asleep. She came up to the bed and stood over me. I heard everything, though a dead silence had fallen. I heard that silence. All at once there was a convulsive movement, and irresistibly, against my will, I suddenly opened my eyes. She was looking straight at me, straight into my eyes, and the revolver was at my temple. Our eyes met, but we looked at each other for no more than a moment. With an effort, I shut my eyes again, and at the same instant I resolved that I would not stir and would not open my eyes, whatever might be awaiting me. It does sometimes happen that people who are sound asleep suddenly open their eyes, even raise their heads for a second and look about the room. Then, a moment later, they lay their heads again on the pillow unconscious and fall asleep without understanding anything. When meeting her eyes and feeling the revolver on my forehead, I closed my eyes and remained motionless, as though in a deep sleep. She certainly might have supposed that I really was asleep and that I had seen nothing, especially as it was utterly improbable that, after seeing what I had seen, I should shut my eyes again at such a moment. Yes, it was improbable, but she might guess the truth all the same. That thought flashed upon my mind at once, all at the same instant. Oh, what a whirl of thoughts and sensations rushed into my mind in less than a minute! Hurrah for the electric speed of thought! In that case, so I felt, if she guessed the truth and knew that I was awake, I should crush her by my readiness to accept death, and her hand might tremble. Her determination might be shaken by a new, overwhelming impression. They say that people standing on a height have an impulse to throw themselves down. I imagine that many suicides and murders have been committed simply because the revolver has been in the hand. It is like a precipice, with an incline of an angle of 45 degrees, down which you cannot help sliding, and something impels you irresistibly to pull the trigger. But the knowledge that I had seen, that I knew it all, and was waiting for death at her hands without a word, might hold her back on the incline. The stillness was prolonged, and all at once I felt on my temple, on my hair, the cold contact of iron. You will ask, did I confidently expect to escape? I will answer you, as God is my judge. I had no hope of it, except one chance in 100. Why did I accept death? But I will ask, what use was life to me after that revolver had been raised against me by the being I adored? Besides, I knew with the whole strength of my being that there was a struggle going on between us, a fearful duel for life and death, the duel fought by the coward of yesterday, rejected by his comrades for cowardice. I knew that, and she knew it, if only she guessed the truth that I was not asleep. Perhaps that was not so. Perhaps I did not think that then, but yet it must have been so, even without conscious thought, because I've done nothing but think of it every hour of my life since. But you will ask me again, why did you not save her from such wickedness? Oh, I've asked myself that question 1,000 times since. Every time that, with a shiver down my back, I recall that second. But at that moment, my soul was plunged in dark despair. I was lost. I myself was lost. How could I save anyone? And how do you know whether I wanted to save anyone then? How can one tell what I could be feeling then? My mind was in a ferment, though. The seconds passed. She still stood over me. And suddenly, I shuddered with hope. I quickly opened my eyes. She was no longer in the room. I got out of bed. I had conquered. And she was conquered forever. I went to the samovar. We always had the samovar brought into the outer room, and she always poured out the tea. I sat down at the table without a word and took a glass of tea from her. 5 minutes later, I looked at her. She was fearfully pale, even paler than the day before, and she looked at me. And suddenly, seeing that I was looking at her, she gave a pale smile with her pale lips, with a timid question in her eyes. So she still doubts and is asking herself, does he know or doesn't he know? Did he see or didn't he? I turned my eyes away indifferently. After tea, I closed the shop, went to the market, and bought an iron bedstead and a screen. Returning home, I directed that the bed should be put in the front room and shut off with a screen. It was a bed for her. But I did not say a word to her. She understood without words, though, that bedstead, that I had seen and knew all, and that all doubt was over. At night, I left the revolver on the table, as I always did. At night, she got into her new bed without a word. Our marriage bond was broken. She was conquered, but not forgiven. At night, she began to be delirious, and in the morning, she had brain fever. She was in bed for 6 weeks.